Okay, here we go. Hi, book lovers, and welcome to Book Talk Radio Club. My name is Claire Perkins, and today I'm talking to Keith Hirschland. Keith is a sports television producer with more than 3 decades of experience and an Emmy Award under his belt. He is the author of 2 books, a memoir, Cover Me Boys, I'm Going In, Tales of the Tube from a Broadcast Brat, and his latest book, Big Flies, a novel in the mystery and suspense genre. Hi, Keith. Thank you for coming on Book Talk Radio Club.
Hello, Claire. Thank you very much for taking the time to chat.
Sure. I understand you were inspired to write Cover Me Boys after the passing of your parents, your father being one of network affiliate television's groundbreakers. You wanted to document as much as possible about your professional life so you could honour your parents and pass down the stories to your children. What was the greatest impact that your father had on you as a sports broadcaster?
Oh, boy. I guess he had a huge impact on me, not just as a person in television, but just as a person. Both of my parents were intelligent, loving, caring people, but they were also passionate, very passionate. That was whether they were talking about or thinking about sports, mm-hmm. or the local community, or building the best TV station they could possibly build. And they were not only dreamers, but they were doers. And I think that's what, I think that's what inspired me more than anything else.
Sure.
I guess by osmosis. That kind of attitude and that kind of get up and go and becomes a part of you. So
sure.
They inspired me greatly.
Oh, that's wonderful. I mean, it's all very well dreaming, but to actually do something, well, that does make a difference, doesn't it?
It sure does.
Cover Me Boys offer readers a look at live television from both in front of and behind the camera, and includes stories of some of the most famous athletes in the world. You've met and interviewed quite a number of them, many having had their names splashed all over the internet and newspapers. How much things have changed since you started broadcasting? I mean, the sports personalities have now become sports celebrities.
Boy, it's changed a great deal. When I first started, and I'm dating myself here, but there was no such thing as the internet. There was no Twitter,
sure.
Facebook. Everything has changed from the way things are done in terms of the television production,
right,
to the way the athletes comport themselves and how they have to, be a brand. They were much less a brand back in the beginning.
And, sure.
Some of it has been a change for the good, but I think a lot of it hasn't. And, there's no secrets anymore.
No, quite. Right.
Sometimes that transparency is necessary and good, but other times it seems to cause more problems than it's worth. So
I agree with you. Absolutely. So tell me, what was the best moment for you? The first positive review of Cover Me Boys or the first sale, and why?
Oh, boy. when we published Cover Me Boys, I felt like that, I had a built-in audience because, I had the pleasure and the privilege of working with hundreds of people throughout my career. And, I kind of had a sense that, a number of those people would buy it. And most of them did, thankfully. and many of them told me how much they enjoyed it, which was gratifying. But, I think more importantly, it was probably just, the strangers and the positive reviews I got from people I didn't know. The 4- and 5-star reviews from companies like Kirkus and Red City Reviews and many others. So I guess that was thrilling because I thought I had a story to tell to the people that knew about my life and knew about what we had done together, but the fact that people who didn't know me read it and enjoyed it was extremely gratifying.
Yeah, there's something about that. I know, when I published my 2 books, and my parents said it's wonderful, my husband said it's wonderful, and friends, but when I got my first review from someone, a complete stranger, that's when I thought, oh, I'm an author, and my book's good.
Right. Yeah, that's great. I felt exactly the same way.
Your most recent book is called Big Flies, and is a mystery suspense novel. Please, would you tell Book Talk Radio Club's listeners a bit about the book and why the title Big Flies?
Sure, I'd be happy to. In general, I knew I wanted to put the stories about my broadcasting career on paper, as you said, as a tribute to my parents, and as a little, kind of a leave behind for my children, you know, because I had done a lot of things and helped start two television networks and won Emmy Awards and things like that, I didn't want them to, you know, to not know any of that. Mm. So it was started out as kind of a journal, which turned into a book. Mm. But I had never considered myself, even though I'd been writing all my life, whether it was television scripts or features or, you know, openings to broadcasts, I'd been writing all my life. Mm. I didn't consider myself an author.
Right.
Until after we finished Cover Me, Boys, and I enjoyed that process of writing it and making it a book so much that I thought I'd give it another go, and I'd already told all the stories that I that I had in my head, so I figured I'd have to make one up. Mm. So I did that. So I thought I'd write a mystery about a father who finds out the true identity of his, or a son who finds out the true identity of his father.
Mm.
And it was based on when I was a 16-year-old kid growing up in Reno, Nevada. There was a very famous incident that happened in the Pacific Northwest. A gentleman named D.B. Cooper hijacked an airplane. It was the first hijacking in the history of the United States.
Right.
And, you know, he hijacked the plane, and that plane was scheduled to land and refuel in Reno, where I was living. So oh. Everybody was all, you know, it was all exciting and big news. And
sure.
My dad's television station, the news folks, you know, hustled out there to the airport to await the landing of the airplane, and
mm.
it obviously landed without him on it. He had jumped out somewhere over the Pacific Northwest with $200,000 strapped to his chest, and they never found him. The FBI looked for him for years and years and years, and just recently closed that case,
okay.
having never found D.B. Cooper. So I thought, well, what if a son grows up with a father who was never around?
Mm.
And then discovers that, you know, throughout the course of events, that maybe his dad was actually D.B. Cooper.
Oh.
And what kind of story would that be?
Interesting.
So while I was researching all of that, I found that in the same time period, it was about a 15-year time span,
mm.
there were three other real-life still unsolved robberies.
Mm.
So I thought, well, what if this person wasn't only D.B. Cooper,
mm.
but he was the perpetrator, or his gang of thieves
mm.
were the perpetrators of these other unsolved robberies, too. So I took real-life events
mm.
and tried to weave them into this fictional story of a son finding out who his father was.
So why Big Flies?
Well, and I don't know how you're, you know, when you've talked to other authors or even in your own books, how you came upon a title. But it was actually one of the hardest things for me to figure out what to call this thing.
I do it from the opposite end. I think of the title, define the cover, and then write the book.
Is that what you do?
Yes.
And that's what I did with the first one. But the second one, I went back and forth with five or six different ideas for a title and couldn't land on one until I went back to one of the passages or a few of the passages in the book. And I turned toward the famous French author Balzac,
uh-huh.
who had a quote. One of his quotes was, "Laws are like spider webs through which the big flies pass and the little ones get caught."
Yeah.
And I thought that these criminals had never been caught, so they were the big flies. So I decided to call it Big Flies.
Okay, so it's a story of the relationship between a son and his recently passed father. And your dad obviously had a big and positive influence in your life. What do you think he would say is the crowning moment of your career, Keith?
Oh, boy. I don't know if, you know, I don't know if he'd point to one exact moment. I think there might be a few. And one would be getting a college education. That was really high on his list
mm.
For all his children and grandchildren.
Right.
But maybe, you know, more in terms of my career, maybe it was that leap of faith decision that I made in 1994 when I joined the Golf Channel.
Right.
Because I had a great, well-paying job at a major television network, and you know, I kind of basically chucked all of that to pursue a dream with this new startup golf network, and you know, there might have been a little bit of my dad in that decision. So that might be what he'd point to as a, you know, and give me a pat on the back.
So just tell me, lastly, where can Book Talk Radio listeners purchase your books?
Well, there are three places, I guess. The three most easy places would be Amazon, BarnesandNoble.com, and then I have my own website through which you could buy the books, and that's KeithHirschland.com, KeithHirschland.com.
Lovely. Thank you, Keith. That was absolutely terrific. Really interesting. Please come back on Book Talk Radio Club when you've published your next book, whenever that's going to be. I'd love to chat with you and hear more. In the meantime, good luck for the future. And thank you, everyone, for listening to Book Talk Radio Club.